WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas National Guard troops hit the streets of Chicago today, and Mayor Brandon Johnson has a question.
The governor of Texas should be worrying about Texas. Why he all up in my business?
Both the city and state have filed lawsuits. The government shutdown now entering its second week, and air traffic controller sickouts are affecting more airports. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The percentage of on-time departures nationwide has ticked down over the last several days as these staffing issues have increased.
James Comey is headed to court to face charges of obstruction and lying to Congress about approving leaks to the media during testimony 5 years ago. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
The former FBI director, fired by President Trump in 2017, has denied wrongdoing, but he will face two criminal charges at an arraignment at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Attorney General Josh Call is running for re-election. He announced on Tuesday he wants to stay at his post amid rumors he was considering running for governor. He says federal cuts impact Wisconsin. He wants to continue to, quote, stand up for our freedoms and the rule of law. Call is mostly through his second term as the top law enforcement official in the state. He first beat then-Attorney General Brad Schimmel and then Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney, both Republicans. Toney is expected to join this race and run against Call in a rematch. The Juneau County Sheriff's Office says Dean Lewerentz and Amy Thomas faced numerous animal neglect charges after hundreds of animals were rescued from a Wisconsin Dells area property. Joanne Krulatz has the story.
On Friday, the sheriff's office responded to a property in Plymouth Township following reports of animals on the loose. An investigation of the property determined a significant case of animal neglect. Nearly 400 animals in total were located on the property, including 81 dogs, 10 puppies, 126 rabbits, 5 horses, 136 chickens, and 35 goats. The animals were surrendered to authorities and are now with numerous animal welfare organizations and shelters.
Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Trade, Agriculture, and Consumer Protection are sharing cybersecurity tips to promote Cybersecurity Awareness Month. State officials recommend you use strong passwords and create different passwords for different accounts. Use multi-factor authentication for additional security. Update your software often to ensure you have the latest security patches, and identify and report any phishing scams you may receive. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Brewers and Cubs in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the NLDS. After 2 wins in Milwaukee, Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked what is he expecting from the Cubs fans at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be here a number of times in the last 10 years. I know how great this crowd can be, how impactful it can be, just like ours were the last two games.
Right-hander Quinn Priester on the mound for the Brewers on facing the Cubs.
They know what they're going to get. We know what we're going to get. And it's just, you know, go to battle. And just, we're going to keep punching back. They're going to keep punching, see who comes out on top. And if we play our style of baseball and we execute the way we can execute on the mound at the plate, be really confident in our team.
NFL, the Packers getting ready to host the Bengals Sunday. Cincinnati making a trade, sending a fifth-round pick to the Browns for veteran quarterback Joe Flacco. The Bengals losing 3 in a row with backup Jake Browning after Joe Burrow had toe surgery. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny and cool today. Our high right around 60 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a little more frost possible. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers and tariffs. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden will join us. I hope you can too.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Another day or so of this. Here he goes.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. He's probably tired of me doing this, because I'm a little tired of doing this, but we have to have it accurate. We can't say he's live at Lake Wissota. He's not.
No, no, no.
He's the founding editor of Up North News. He's Pat Kreitlow.
And here he is now. Thank you, Parker Olson. Appreciate it very much. Nice to have you back here on this Wednesday morning, October 8th, again for another day or two here from Texas, and then back to the Lake Wissota studio, which will be awfully nice, but always nice to visit family as well. Coming up and standing by is Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor at Up North News. And then later this hour in our homeroom segment, we will be talking to an official for an education advocacy group, talking about how down here in Texas, the growth of the voucher school program funded by taxpayers has been explosive to the point of troubling. And so we'll see what kind of lessons we can take away from Texas to prevent what could become a billion-dollar boondoggle for taxpayers supporting private schools and public schools. Should taxpayers really be asked to fund two education systems in Wisconsin? We'll talk all about that coming up. And then at 8:35, we're going to be talking to Chuck Collins, grandson of Oscar Meyer. So he knows a thing or two about family fortunes, and he specializes in wealth inequality issues and has a new book out called Burned by Billionaires, and about the changes that'll be necessary to the American political system before billionaires ruin too much more of society, the planet, our politics, and more. So if you can't hang around for that at 8:35, be sure to subscribe to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify and follow us that way, or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along. And of course, we'd love to have you follow along with our newsletter, our unabashedly Wisconsin news that's provided every weekday by Ellie Bordeaux. You just sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, and the aforementioned Ellie Bordeaux joins us now to talk all about what's in today's issue and beyond. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Good, thank you. So good to see you again here. And you've come back for a second week. So Parker and I clearly
didn't scare away. Not, wow.
Yeah. No. Nope. We did good.
You're back.
No, you did not. I'm back.
Yep. So Ellie's been producing the newsletter. What are we at? 4 weeks here, roughly.
Yeah, like just over a month, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, and we've appreciated it very much as we just continue to keep things rolling on stories that we cover at Up North News, some of the news stories, but then a whole lot of Wisconsin features as well. And we talked a lot in the past couple of days about it being Banned Books Week and coverage in the newsletter about that. But you also note that this is National Voter Education Week. And again, we don't have an election here anytime soon, but there's probably never a bad time to get to know more about, you know, what you need to do to be a registered voter and a good voter, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this week, especially for National Voter Education Week, there's never a bad time to check your voter registration status. Make sure you're up to date on that. I remember I've talked to plenty of people that are like, I don't even know if I'm registered to vote, that kind of thing. So I think it's really important to make sure everyone's educated on what your polling place is, where are you registered, that kind of thing. Make sure everything's up to date. So yeah, bringing awareness to that is, there's no bad time for that for sure.
No, and again, you've been doing this long enough now as a voter and as a journalist to know that there are plenty of people who like to complain about things, and then you ask them if they vote, and they're like, oh, no, voting won't do me any good or whatever. And I feel like you and Parker already, despite, you know, being younger adults, I think you're already ready to throw that back at people, the old, you know, if you're not voting, you can't complain.
Absolutely, yeah. It's that kind of thing is a little bit frustrating. So it's super important to go out and vote. You know, a democracy, that's how it works, is if you go out and vote, and can't do that if you're not registered. So make sure you check that, all that stuff.
It works better if you participate.
Exactly. And so you've got this new section called Civic Check-In. What's that about?
Yeah. So every week, every Wednesday, we're going to be starting, or I've started doing Civic Check-In. So every week we're going to be taking a look at a new topic of just to check in on your civics. You know, do you know what this means? Is it impacting you? Just make sure people are informed on those kinds of things. So today we talked about authoritarianism and if it's impacting your daily life, what that is, what that looks like, those kinds of things. So,
and it's important to do that because there are words that get bandied about: authoritarianism, fascism, socialism, communist, you know, a democratic republic. Are we a democracy or are we a republic? And so any of these little stories that can help shed some light make for more informed voters. And so Ellie's doing that through the newsletter. And then, of course, here on the radio show, we're bringing back what we've called Movement Mondays, part of the movement toward protecting democracy, where we have different groups come in on Monday mornings and talk about what their groups are doing to educate voters or get them registered or get people informed on the issues. And our friend Abby is working very hard to find some of the guests for those and solicit op-ed columns from them that run on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. So many ways that you can stay, you know, plugged in and increase your civic engagement, which, by the way, is at the heart of what we're all about at Up North News, is just boosting your civic engagement. However, we're also in the business of boosting your appetite for things and for food and for drink. And I recall that when we first talked about doing this story, the headline in the newsletter today is "Get a Taste of the Best of the 8 Best Food Halls in Wisconsin." And he had people going, "Food hall? What do you mean by that? Is that like the food court at the mall?" And no, if some folks who live near them say the Milwaukee Public Market might be the best known of them. But these are, well, tell people more about food halls and, you know, how you can find all kinds of variety at them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I love the Milwaukee Public Market. I think it's, maybe I'm a little biased, but that's one of my favorite. But food halls for me is, or what I think of it as, is like, it's a place where there are a bunch of different vendors. You can go check out a bunch of different things. You've got a bunch of different options, you know, kind of take a taste of everything. So this story really dives into that. There's places all in Milwaukee. There's Mequon. There's Madison. I mean, you've got options all over the state. And this story really takes a look at that, like the Milwaukee Public Market. We've got the Mequon Public Market. We've got the Market on the River in Chippewa Falls.
I was going to say that's the new one here, the Wisconsin Farmers Union put together when they overhauled this old building downtown right by the river and have turned it into, again, one of these food halls where you have different, you know, eating options, but you also have other markets and other vendors as well. So it's not the malls of the 70s and 80s. They're smaller and they're much more with an emphasis on local.
Yes, absolutely. So this story totally takes a look at all those things. And I mean, I think about the Milwaukee Public Market. I don't necessarily have experience at these other places or the one in Chippewa Falls, but I think about the Milwaukee Public Market, and you've got a spot where you can eat and it's, you can take a little taste of everything. It's great. I love them. So.
Mm-hmm. So again, we've got that story again in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. That is there as well. And let's see, what else do we have in there for today? Oh, we have, well, that's the story I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a new bill out there to ban absentee ballot drop boxes. And again, it's a bill that's not going to get past Governor Tony Evers, but it does, again, say something that we have lawmakers in this state who would remove the absentee ballot drop box option to voters. And so we just want to make sure that people know about it. Right, Ellie?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important to, again, keep people informed on those kind of things, what's happening around the state, what's happening at our Capitol. So, yeah, it's super important.
Okay. Let's see. Tony says on YouTube, oh, it's like a malt shop. Sure, it is. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning, Ellie. I love your work on the newsletter. And while we've got Rob here, he says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear and 32 degrees, the coldest since early May. He says, I mowed 4 yards in Tigerton yesterday. It was more mowing leaves than grass with the first freeze, that this could be the last week of mowing. Yeah, we've got the first freeze has definitely hit here. So mowing leaves is going to be much more the issue than it is going to be mowing grass, which means that Ellie is getting right into the thick of here's where to see fall colors around the state.
Totally. Yes, exactly. We've taken a look at that, and all that stuff is in for the rest of fall. We've got a ton of fall activities all throughout Wisconsin. We talked about this, I think, a little bit last week of our fall guide. Mm-hmm. So that's published on our site now, too. You can take a look at all the different fun activities, those kinds of things. We have stories on our site of when the leaves will peak, those kinds of things. Where are they at now? So fall in Wisconsin is my favorite. So
there's not going to be any shortage of things to do. Is there anything on your own personal calendar, any road trips that you've got coming up, or I don't know, maybe you've got Packers or Brewers tickets coming up to something?
Well, I am going to Madison for the Ohio State game, not going to the game, but I'm going to Madison to watch the game. We'll see how that goes. You know, Badgers have been a little bit rocky this season, but fingers crossed.
it's an experience, right, Parker? People are there for the experience more so than the score, which is what we say when you're playing one of the top teams in the country, right?
And you're not a good team.
and you're not a good team. Yes, we have to add that as well. So, all right, for all that and more of the things that Ellie's working on in our newsletter, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner and get on board the weekday newsletter that she puts together, the Sunday morning one that I work on as well. And Ellie will join us on Wednesdays to give us a little taste of what's in some of these issues. Ellie, great to talk to you as always. Hope you have a wonderful day.
Yes, same to you. Thank you.
You bet. Now, tomorrow, Sharita Booker is going to be here, and we will be talking about weekend events that are coming up around Wisconsin. But Sharita also puts together some of the more popular posts of the past week. I mean, she posts everything that goes on Up North News social media, and then she shares with us some of the statistics of, you know, what's been popular lately. And that includes over the past few days here, the Ellsworth teacher who lost her job over a social media post dealing with the Charlie Kirk murder. And what does that say when a congressman can attack a teacher's First Amendment rights like that? There's also the story that Selena Heller told us about on Monday about a woman from La Crosse and her, you know, rather emotional reaction to the prospect of not being able to afford health insurance anymore as the enhanced tax credits for the Affordable Care Act get set to expire at the end of this year, and Republicans not wanting to renew them. Now, that still could change because that's really what's at the heart of the current government shutdown. But for the moment, a growing number of people are starting to realize what could happen to their health insurance bill if these enhanced premium credits are not extended. And so small wonder that story got a lot of clicks over the past week. Same goes for the new backdoor abortion ban that came from the big bloated boondoggle from the president. It includes language in there that cuts Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood does not get taxpayer funds for its abortion care services, but does for all kinds of other basic health services done in clinics all across the country, many that serve rural areas. And yet now that funding is looking to be cut, and essentially Planned Parenthood is forced to cut its abortion care services, at least temporarily, while that part of the law is being challenged in court. So those are just three examples that you could find on Instagram, searching for Up North News WI, about stories that are getting a lot of clicks, a lot of likes, a lot of shares, and a lot of comments. And we appreciate you doing that with everything that we put up on social media, is a share and let folks know that you saw it on North News. All right. We will be talking about the voucher programs here in Texas and then back in Wisconsin coming up in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
And welcome back to our true crime podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit clarybuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the patriotic millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. You think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
It leads into one of the main points I wanted to get to when talking about the variety show. It's fun. Doing a variety show just in general will be fun. Hey, you want to do one? Let's do one. That would be great. I actually think it'd be kind of a fun tradition to bring along, to kind of almost lead into the main stage season, maybe even. But this is a love letter to the community. This is an opportunity to say to people, hey, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for supporting us. Let's go ahead and take a walk down memory lane and remember some of the great people that have been on this stage and done part of productions. The fact you and I remember those the days, and we love Macmillan Library and shout them out. But what it was like doing shows there and now having our own building and just being able to appreciate some of that stuff. We get so caught up in life, and life only goes one direction. And that's, that's just how life is. But sometimes it's nice to be able to take a pause and look back and be like, wow, come a long way in 50 years.
We have, and it's cool to see everything that we've done, but it's also kind of making us excited for the future of what we can do.
Yeah. And to that, I see a very bright future ahead, especially with you in that position that you're in and everything. I have good feelings and have heard nothing but good stuff from the community. Something like this is an add-on, It's a very cool way and a great way to celebrate the anniversary, the golden anniversary for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. The variety show is coming up October 11th, 2 o'clock, over at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Be sure to head on over there. And this is something, do you need tickets for?
You can buy them at the door, but if you want to get them ahead of time, it is assigned seating. So if you want to sit in the front row or you want an aisle, get them ahead of time.
I make sure to my mom hears that.
It's a one and done type of show, so it's not like we got many to do, and fall is a busy time, so we understand if a lot of people can't make it. But we would like to, it's not necessarily, we're not expecting it to be a moneymaker, but we want a lot of people to attend because it is going to be such a great thing to see.
Mm-hmm. and whatever ticket sales happen, just like with anything of the productions over there, you know that this goes right back into the theater and helps the theater continue to do the great work that it's doing. And, you know, even if you are not an art person, a theater person, you may not think of those things. You pay taxes. And the theater helps our economy immensely. You would know if the theater was not here, everybody. You would know if it was not in town. What it, the attraction and the way it brings people to our community or entertains our community in general, it is an economic, huge impact on our community and an important part of it. And supporting that, whether it's going to the variety show or any of the main stage show or the Silver Foxes, the kids' productions in the summer, you're putting back into your community. You're supporting the arts. I will remind you Wisconsinites out there, Wisconsin finished dead last in funding the arts last year. From what I know of Wisconsinites, you don't like being last. Let's go ahead and change that. Let's add to the arts, fund the arts, help the arts. And you can do that by taking in a show. That's what you get to do. You spend your money and you're going to take in a once-in-a-lifetime variety show, completely original thing, and enjoy yourself. It's going to be a good night. Or good afternoon,
good
I should
afternoon,
say.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be
And
good.
It's not going to be an incredibly long show. I think we've got it whittled down to that it's like the perfect amount of time where people aren't going to get bored. And it should move pretty quickly, and there will be snacks afterwards that are free.
Yeah, that said, I am going to be acting out War and Peace. That was what I was going to do. I know I sent you some Sel Silverstein stuff and Langston Hughes. I changed
James,
my mind. I'm going
to do this to me. I have to reinvent the whole set list.
I thought if I put you on the spot on the air, you would have to let me do it. You would
have to. Now I'm going to have to cut Old Man Finley.
Oh, see, sorry. No, we can't do that. We can't do that. I'll go back and do the original stuff. That's going to be great to see. I can't wait to see that. Before we let you go, Gretch, I did want to touch on just a couple of other things and remind everybody that our wonderful Silver Foxes have an October production coming up. This one looks like a lot of fun. Eat, drink, and be murdered.
Yeah, this is our very first kind of interactive play where the audience helps pick the ending.
I love those.
They're kind of hoping it goes both of the ways one night, you know, each performance. But they're even raffling off a prize at the end because it's like a...
Very cool.
Yeah, Linda Garsky is directing it. She's doing great.
So yeah, yeah.
It's going to be funny. And it's the funniest Silver Fox script I've ever read. So.
It sounds like it. The plot, everything about it sounds great. We'll probably be talking more about this as we get a little closer to it. But that Silver Fox's production, Eat, Drink, and Be Murdered, October 23rd and 24th, 2 o'clock matinee on the 23rd, 7 o'clock show on the 24th, taking place at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Be sure to get tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org. And, you know, keep that play, that website in mind as well. Tonight is the final night for auditions for A Christmas Story. So depending on when you're listening to the pod here and everything, don't know if you'll miss the auditions or not. But they've got other shows coming up. And, you know, speaking of Linda Garsky, she's got a show coming up.
Yeah.
I know the Father of the Bride is going to be at the end of the season. So you've got other productions coming up and other opportunities to be a part of these productions. Encourage you to do that, everybody. And keep in mind... You know, maybe you don't feel comfortable being on stage. Maybe that's not your thing. Always could use you backstage.
For certain.
Mm. Yeah. You know, if you want to be a part of things, we'll probably find somewhere to put you. We'll find somewhere that you can, you'll be comfortable and you'll enjoy yourself and be a part of things.
We'll be building the set for Christmas Story, and that's something it doesn't take a lot of nighttime hours, but if you're retired and sitting at home with, and for something to do during the day, always take in builders that are willing to lend a hand.
Certainly going to need people to work on that classic lamp. You're going to definitely need...
Actually, it's built already.
No, it's probably already built. Yeah,
yep, we had our props people in. I ordered a mannequin leg and some stockings, and it looks just like it, so...
I love that that's the way you did that. Like, nowadays, you could just buy one. I'm sure they got, like, you made it? That's awesome.
Yep.
That's so cool.
We found a $1.50 pair of electric yellow heels, and we spray painted them black, but that's what we're using for the shoe at the base of the lamp. And it's like you'd never guess that it was the ugliest shoe ever.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. I'm looking forward to when we have the cast come on and we talk to them about this. A Christmas Story is going to be coming up in December, everybody. Be sure on the lookout for that. Mark it on your calendars. And be a part of all of these events and take in as many of them as you can. WRCtheater.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great way to keep the date on all the things that they are doing. And Gretchen, if people wanted to get in touch with you directly, just the website, or Facebook, is that the best way?
Facebook. I have an email address of cdwrct@solaris.net. That's going to be on the website if you need to find it. And then there's also a phone number on there as well.
Appreciate you. Always good talking with you. Thanks for everything you and the community put, the theater put into the community. We appreciate you, Gretch. And have a good birthday. Have a good birthday.
Thank you.
We will. We appreciate all of you joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Still no details out of Washington, D.C. on possible federal aid headed to farms to offset soybean losses. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. What do we think will happen? Those details on the way.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
We still expect details this week on federal aid headed to the nation's farmers to try to offset losses, specifically when it comes to soybeans. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says it'll probably look a lot like the first term under the Trump administration.
It's going to be probably directed heavier towards the soybean side of the equation in terms of just providing straight up aid based off of production. Those are, again, all the rumors that we're hearing out there. Now we'll see what they touch for both, you know, other grains as well. But the initial payments back when President Trump was in office during the first trade war was really pretty much focused on soybeans. And we think that's going to be where the impact's going to be the most. We'll see what those numbers say today.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Now, as details are released, we'll post them just as fast as we can. Follow us, MidwestFarmReport.com or Midwest Farm Report on social media. Markets are trending lower in overnight electronic trade. Those numbers are next.
From mealtime to snack time, pork has got you covered. Toss chops, rice, veggies, and seasonings in one pan for a weeknight flavor that gets everyone excited. Or add Italian sausage to soup for instant comfort food vibes. It's flavors worth sharing around the table because when pork's involved, every meal becomes the main event. For more crowd-pleasing recipes, visit tastewhatporkcando.com. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Pig Farmers and the Pork Checkoff.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese stood still at 177. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half at 173 and a half. Double A butter dropped 2¾ cents on Tuesday, 166 and three quarters per pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up to 1691. Right now, the December new crop corn's unchanged at 419. November new crop soybeans unchanged at 1022. July new crop wheat, that's down 2 right now, 548 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand. Rolling into a Wednesday trade session. Sign up for a daily e-newsletter. You won't miss a thing. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
It is going to be mostly sunny and cool today. Our high right around 60 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a little more frost possible. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared.
That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by nutritionist and founder of Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then fantasy football expert Peter Van Doren joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Back at 7:35. Nice to have you along here all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Live this week down in Dallas doing some family visits, keeping up on the Wisconsin headlines, and in this segment, adding a bit of a Texas twist to it. Now, we've talked previously to our Courier Newsroom colleagues at Courier Texas about what's happening with public education in Texas and the voucher school program there. We've certainly talked to Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier in Arizona, and now he's out on Capitol Hill, where, again, there's continued pushes to use taxpayer dollars to support private, usually religious schools. And, of course, every Wednesday at this time, we talk about public education in Wisconsin, and especially the ongoing threat from a voucher program that is rapidly approaching $1 billion in annual cost to taxpayers. And it still seems like a lot of taxpayers don't know that yet, although they're becoming more and more aware of it each time there's yet another school referendum in Wisconsin. So while I'm here in Texas this week, I thought we should maybe find out what is happening here, and are there things that are happening in Texas that we can take away as lessons to protect public education in Wisconsin? One of the groups working hard on this issue is IDRA. That stands for the Intercultural Development Research Association. And the IDRA deputy director is here now, Dr. Chloe Latham Sykes, and joins us from Austin, Texas. Dr. Sykes, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we really appreciate it because, again, you've heard the setup of the problem that we're facing in Wisconsin of helping taxpayers understand that whether they know it or not, they are funding two school systems in our state. And the one is, you know, closing in on a 10-digit figure in the state budget. Can you give us a little background on the challenges that public schools face in Texas?
Oh, yes. I'm so glad that you're covering this topic. You know, this is a new terrain for Texas with this private school voucher program. You know, for Texas has over 5.5 million students in our public school system, pre-K through 12. We serve largest population of emergent bilingual or English learner students. Over half of our public school students are considered economically disadvantaged. You know, we're really diverse and we have a lot of needs. And Texas, unfortunately, has always fallen behind the curve in properly funding our public schools. This was a founding issue for the organization I work for, IDRA, establishing fair school funding across our 1,200 school district and charter schools now across the state. And for many, many years, for decades, we fended off proposals for a private school voucher program until now, unfortunately. And there could be a whole segment on the ins and outs and politics of how it happened. And that might be, you know, part of your questions. But essentially, we're going to hit the ground running next school year with a starting point of a $1 billion private school voucher program. And taxpayers in Texas will be funding two school systems going forward with our now, it'll be a universal and statewide private school voucher program.
And I'm wondering, when you talk about the background of it, I know that here in Wisconsin, the way that we have to remind people is it never grew as a standalone issue. Anytime voucher schools would be put up as a standalone bill, it wouldn't pass, or it would get vetoed, or if it was a referendum, it would be taken down. But year after year after year, Republican lawmakers, usually with some Democrats, would insert it into the state budget.
as something, you know, one of those bills that has to pass. And so by and large, the growth of voucher schools has never been something that's been debated on its own merits. And as we said, it has over the years now been to this point where we're looking at the experience in other states and wondering what it is we might be able to do to stop this from becoming, you know, such a behemoth. But before we get to what we can do, let's continue just emphasizing where we are in Texas and other states right now. I'm starting to see a little bit of even Republican legislators in some of these states going, well, I support, you know, school vouchers. I support private schools. But as a fiscal conservative, I'm starting to get a little bit of concern about how big this is getting. Is there any evidence like that in Texas right now, or is it still full speed ahead for those folks who basically have a blank check for the voucher school program?
Yes. So our private school voucher program is authorized under what was Senate Bill 2 from this past legislative session in the spring that ended this spring in 2025. So this is our rulemaking year. We haven't even seen this fully hit the ground. This program is actually housed not in our education agency. It's housed within our state budget office and the Comptroller of Public Accounts office. And so they just authorized the organization that's going to be administering applications and providers. It's going to be Odyssey, which is a major tech firm out of New York that's done some of these programs. But there was a lot of pushback in the back and forth in the debates. And this proposal died in 2023. It was a major fight. Like you said, a private school voucher program in 2023 for us was tied to a major school funding bill. And we came back for four special sessions after the regular session ended, the most in Texas history in one calendar year, to finally have, they had a final giant bill, House Bill 1, that had all the bait in it. It had funding for schools. It had increases to the per pupil allotment, basic allotment. It had teacher pay. It had accountability changes. It had all this stuff, and it had a voucher program. This is fall 2023. And there was a motion on the House floor from a Republican, an outgoing Republican, rural Republican member to strike that article from House Bill 1, to strike it and take out that voucher portion, keep all the school funding bait. And they had the votes. It passed. So then the author took down the whole bill, right? So that was the first time we'd seen the voucher program get to the House floor debate. Our Senate has been passing these out, you know, no problem. It was the first time we got to the House floor and it died. Now, then we saw a wave of political pressure that got a fair amount of coverage, millions of dollars coming in from outside sources to the Texas governor to support Republican primary challenges in the spring of 2024. And they were successful, and they got a new House composition of Republicans that were going to be pro the private school voucher program. And so entering 2025, it was pretty hectic. I mean, we had the bill coming out of the Senate in the first couple weeks of session, which, I mean, you can appreciate. Normally, you're just talking about budget, you're assembling committees. They had it going on in January coming out. And in the House, that's where the fight was always going to be. And so what we ended up seeing, what we knew was going to happen, was there was still a holdout of particularly rural Republican members in Texas who knew this is going to be real harmful to our school districts. And they knew what they were hearing from superintendents and teachers and families. And I, in the final, on the day of the vote, they were going to make a motion to have a push it to a referendum in November, put it to the voters, as some other states have done. And the president called the GOP caucus. They put him on speakerphone. They had a caucus meeting the morning of the House vote. And he said, get in line, ultimately. I mean, this has been covered. It was brought, you know, it was put out. And it took a call from the president. And they got in line behind the vote. Two Republicans voted against it on the House floor that evening in April. So there was a lot of holdout till the House debate. But ultimately, I think politics won.
Well, yeah, because they obviously, if they're ready to go in January, then you clearly have outside groups that are doing their homework and are trying to put something through. This is hardly anything that's organic. at all. And it's where special interests, you know, have the money to be able to hit the ground running and ram these kinds of things through. We're talking to Chloe Latham Sykes from IDRA, the Intercultural Development Research Association out of Austin, Texas, about the growth of school vouchers and taxpayer funds for them. And so at the heart of some of these Republican fiscal conservatives getting alarmed at the price tag of it. Now, of course, in this case, they were primaried and they were bounced so that the special interests protecting private schools could get their way. But I wonder if, Dr. Sykes, what we learned in there is the path forward is really all about information, making sure not just that these fiscal conservative legislators understand the cost, but that all of their constituents, that all these taxpayers understand. I feel like that's the part that's been missing here in Wisconsin, is enough messaging to help people understand that, hey, nobody's against private schools per se, but it's about our tax dollars going there. Is communication the path forward, the best path forward, or are there other avenues as well?
That was key. That was absolutely key. And the fact is, we know we had a 21-hour committee hearing in the House. That might send chills down your spine about this bill. And it was hundreds of families coming out across the state to say, please don't do this. We know. And that was bipartisan. There was bipartisan pushback saying this is actually not fiscally conservative. The starting point is $1 billion. It's estimated in the first 5 years to go past $10 billion. Again, we're going to see how it's implemented next year. But people understanding it has no real accountability for academic and student achievement or financial accountability. The company that's not been chosen to run it was kicked out of the Idaho program because of fraud. And so spreading that message and the research around these programs are bad for student performance. They are bad for taxpayer accountability. They're bad for state budgets. Just look to Arizona, who has been scrambling over their ballooning private school voucher program. That was a key part of the messaging. And that monitoring and research is something we're going to continue to be lifting up and trying to continue to message. I mean, people feel it. We have school closures going on left and right. And even with some school funding that came down in the legislative session as well, I think the pressure of this program and how it'll grow as evidenced in other states is going to be felt very deeply, very quickly.
So what are your next steps? What is the IDRA working on, and how can people learn more about it?
Yes, we have a basic infographic. If you go to our website, idra.org/news/TX voucher law, just to see some of the nuts and bolts of what it is. We have been trying to push people to engage in the rulemaking process of, hey, this program's getting implemented. Your voice still matters, to put some guardrails on this thing. There was just a first round of rules that came out, and there's going to be more. So trying to get people engaged. If they subscribe to idra.org, they'll be able to receive all our alerts and infographics, data dashboards, and additional research that we put out to show how this will affect public schools.
And there are all kinds of good, active people with the Wisconsin Public Education Network who I know are taking everything that you said to heart, and we'll be looking for all kinds of other ideas to partner in ways that protect our public schools in Wisconsin and Texas and beyond. Chloe Latham Sykes is the Deputy Director of Policy for IDRA out of Austin, Texas. Dr. Sykes, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for so much background and inspiration going forward.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care now. When we come back in our next hour, we will be talking to Chuck Collins from the group Patriotic Millionaires about the billionaire class in this country and how do you keep them from, much like the voucher school program, from gobbling up everything. And it involves making some fundamental changes to the system. But again, people got to know about it. Chuck Collins is trying to do his part. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support for this Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. Show is proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. Have your host, James, behind the mic. And we are joined right now by our great friends from McMillan Memorial Library. We have Heather Kincaid, Library Director from over at McMillan with us right now. Heather, good to see you.
Nice to see you as well. Good to be here.
Thanks a lot for the time, Heather. And thank you to you and your staff and everybody and all you put into our community. We greatly appreciate McMillan being our community hub and so much of the great things that go on over there. One of the things we're going to talk about a lot today, everybody, but I did want to start off talking about something that is close to my heart, and I really appreciate this community costume swap that goes on. You can save money, you can help the environment, and it helps out a lot of people that might not have a costume otherwise. I think it's a really unique and cool thing that really highlights what McMillan does. McMillan has events, McMillan hosts events, but so much of what the McMillan does is, hey, what is the community like? Hey, what does this community want? And specifically designed for that, it shows that the McMillan listens to the community, but also cares about the community. And that goes a long way. And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Appreciate things like this. The costume swap is happening today, October 7th, depending on when you're listening to us. It'll go from 5 to 7 at their all-purpose room.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to highlight that one more time before we got going too far, because there's a lot to talk about.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, because one of my mentors from a number of years ago always told me the best piece of advice he could ever give me is know your community. And so know your community, know what their needs are, know, meet them where they are. And yes, I think that this Halloween costume swap is just perfect because you wear those costumes just once and the kids grow out of them.
Yeah.
So why not? And it's like you said, it's great for the environment. It's great for the community. Mm-hmm. So let's do a costume swap tonight.
It's a win-win situation.
That's
it really
right.
is.
Win-win.
We have some other great events coming up in the month. Want to get to some of those. Where do you want to start?
So I just wanted to start with our baby story time. That happens every Tuesday morning at 10:30 in the children's area. That's on the second floor of the library. That's geared for children ages 0 to 2. It's a traditional baby lap sit that features stories, songs, and rhymes, followed by playtime. So this not only is this a great way to get out of the house if you have a young child, but also to be able to socialize with other parents or guardians or grandparents, etc., who bring their little ones to enjoy this time.
It's a great event. It was honestly one of my mom's favorite parts of working at the library was this and having this event going on and everything. I know how much it means to people. And you brought up a great point. It's great for the kids, certainly, but parents being able to get out of the house, just be around other adults a little bit and some of that is just as great as it is for the kids.
Absolutely. Having that connection or being able to forge a connection with other people who have children ages 0 to 2 in their lives and just talking and socializing. And I think it's a win-win for, like we said about the costume swap, it's a win-win for everyone.
There's a relatability there that only other parents can really get sometimes. And so it's really nice to be around that kind of energy and that kind of environment. And it's they do a great job too, the readers. They do a really nice job with those.
Definitely. A lot of thought goes into the program, so for sure.
Baby story time takes place Tuesdays at 10:30.
You got it. In the children's area and the second floor.
Excellent.
Thank you. And then continuing on just with children and family fun, we do have a program called Viva España, mm-hmm. which is on October 14th, a Tuesday from 6 to 7. It is once again in the library's all-purpose room. Our children's librarian, one of her favorite places to visit is Spain. And so there will be a number of activities for families to do, and no registration is required. So the whole family is welcome, and you can just mill around and do some fun activities and learn about Spain.
It's a very cool idea, especially, not necessarily a country we learn a lot about sometimes, and depending on where you go with your studies and everything. So it's a really unique idea. And any chance we can bring in more bilingualism and stuff is great for basically all Americans. Like, can always use a little bit more of that.
Exactly.
I'm sure there are a couple of kids that graduated, with a high degree in Spanish out there. But outside of that, I mean, anybody could use a little bit more of that. And it's fun. It's fun learning about.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. Then continuing on with that, so we of course have activities for the little ones and for the whole families. We also have programs for adults, as you know. So Wednesday, October 22nd, from 12:30 to 2, also in our all-purpose room, is we're having an adult crafternoon, and the craft will be a book pumpkin. And so you might wonder, what is a book pumpkin? Mm-hmm. So it's when you take a book and you cut and you make the shape of a pumpkin out of a book.
Oh,
so it's pretty neat. It's
I like it.
A lot of it, those type of crafts are really popular nowadays. You'll see that quite a bit, like in craft stores. And so, hey, make your own. It'll be a lot of fun.
Fun, get a chance to work with your hands, do a little something. I think you always feel a little bit better when you've made something yourself as opposed to buying it and stuff. That's a fun part
of
this. I love the repurposing of things. I bring up the example a lot of the time, but a good friend of mine took like this really old door and turned it into a beautiful table.
Oh.
That kind of thing is always fun to me.
Yes.
So it sounds a little bit like that.
Yes, definitely. When a book, books just keep on giving over and over and
over. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. And again, don't forget the socialization aspect of it, mm-hmm. which is so important.
What is the date and time of that one again?
Of course. It is Wednesday, October 22nd. From 12:30 to 2 in the all-purpose room. However, registration is required, and you can do that by going to the library's website.
Hmm. And that library, that website is macmillanlibrary.org. We'll get that out there again before we wrap up. macmillanlibrary.org.
Thank you. Yeah, and if it's okay, I'll just keep going.
Yeah, please do. Okay. Please do. I don't want to get in your way.
Okay, no worries. So, as you know, October, all things pumpkin, and who doesn't love pumpkin spice? So we have a Spice of Life program at the library, and our October's blend is pumpkin spice.
Oh, awesome.
So you can, it comes with your little spice and different ideas of how you can use it. And it's an incredibly popular program, and we always run out of the spices. So. Pumpkin spice.
That is, I can see why you run out. I can see why. That's a great idea. That's a fun one.
Thank you.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas National Guard troops hit the streets of Chicago today on Trump administration orders. Former Illinois Adjutant General William Enyart.
To bring in someone from 1,000 miles away who doesn't have any of those contacts, doesn't have any of that network developed, is absolutely a hazard to public safety.
One of the president's political foes, former FBI Director James Comey, will be arraigned on federal charges of lying to Congress today. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
James Comey will plead not guilty here today, but even before his first court appearance, this case has already unleashed a firestorm, with the president celebrating the case and the president's critics denouncing it.
Day 8 of the government shutdown, and more airports are being hobbled by short staffing as air traffic controllers sick out to protest lack of pay. Union rep Stephanie Winder.
I would say that morale has definitely been impacted, primarily because it's already a stressful profession.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.